This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Wow. My head is still spinning.
I know. That was a lot of great content.
I know. And for those listening to the podcast, you're going to have to listen to the podcast episode before this one so that you can check out Hawk and Caitlin talking about reinventing lead generation. And wow. So, Mary, hi.
Awesome. Hello.
Yeah. Mary Goulet. Yay. I like having you here. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. So, yeah, we just got hammered with content
scratching the surface.
Details. Yeah, just scratching the surface. I mean, these guys, they are really, really good at what they do. And so, man, I got to tell you, when I was thinking about who we could have to follow up with reinventing lead generation, one of the things that came to mind is, well, what I have found is a phenomenal lead generation source is being in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I've had the privilege of being on CNN and, the usual suspects, ABC, NBC, Fox, et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't carry the same weight that it used to, but nevertheless, it's still extremely powerful. And I know you do a lot of media as well, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was on... all the ABC, CBS, all those, and yeah. Fox, and lots of Dr. Phil.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
It does help.
It does.
If you have your message down.
It does. And frankly, you know, while it's always a work in progress, you got to start, right? And it's funny, I just got a text from my friend Mario Brown. You haven't met Mario. We got to have Mario on. Mario's awesome. You'd love him. He's an internet marketer extraordinaire. Incredible story. I mean, he'll share his story because this show is not about Mario. So, Mario, if you're listening, sorry, bro, it's not about you. but we're going to have you on at some point. So, but one of the things that Mario talks about is taking imperfect action, right? Which is literally just getting started with something. And so I know a lot of people are saying to themselves, you know, I'd love to be on the Today Show, but I'm not ready for it. Or I'd love to have my own podcast, but I'm not ready for it. Right. And they just never get started. And it kills me because so many people have amazing gifts to share and so much knowledge to share, but we'll never hear from them. Right. And I'm not going to cry, but you know, I mean, it's sad because there's so much talent out there that just goes unheard. And so when we were thinking about, you know, who should we have, in the follow up hour here, you know, the idea of doing something, around the media seemed to make a lot of sense because from a lead generation standpoint, it's just a killer medium, even though it doesn't necessarily, as I said, carry the same cachet, the same weight, that it used to. I mean, when people used to be on the Today Show, and our guest Susan Harrow can talk about this, but, you know, when people used to be on the Today Show, they would move like 5,000-6,000 books.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just because. I mean, Oprah, the same thing, but that Oprah effect is kind of worn off, I think, to some extent in that powerful one place, be all to be seen type medium. I'm not sure that it currently exists, but again, I know we're going to talk about that quite extensively with Sarah, with Susan.
Susan Harrow. Yeah.
Right, Sarah. That's sort of like J-Lo.
Just change people's names.
It's like Bennifer. So it'll be Sarah. Sorry, Susan. I know you're listening and you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
But you know what, as to Caitlin's point, social media, traditional media, you're going online, offline, back online. If you can marry the two, you're even better off.
Yeah.
So Susan always has great, great ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you're not familiar with Susan Harrow, you will be here very soon. She is the author of Sell Yourself Without Selling Your Soul, creator of the Soundbite System for Success, and has worked, I mean, literally with just thousands of people over the years. So let us bring Susan on without further ado. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Susan?
Good afternoon. I'm so pleased to be with both of you. Mary Goulet was a surprise, so that is wonderful.
I was thrilled to find out you were on the show today.
I'm very thrilled.
I know, it's a small world. So
here's the thing, though.
Please.
I have to disagree with both of you.
Awesome. I love when that happens.
I'm going to pot her down.
Number one, Publicity is still the fastest way to grow your business. It does trump advertising, social media, podcasts, pay-per-click, because you can get immediate increase in clients, customers, and sales, long-term recognition, respect, and leadership if you know how to maximize your time on the air. If you know how to pitch the media correctly, if you then know how to pass the audition, and you know what to say to drive sales and business in the direction that you want. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing that you said, which I thought was fascinating, because there's actually sort of a flip in what's going on. Like, we went away from traditional media, right? And we went into social media. And then what happened is, when I was at the Jack Canfield Mastermind a couple years ago, Mike Koenig, one of the most brilliant people that we probably all know.
Let's not boost Mike's ego any more than
Internet marketing,
please.
Was going back to traditional media, and it was all new for people in the room. All the internet marketers that were in that room who had won this mastermind along with myself are like, what? Like, how do we do traditional media? Like, it was such a foreign idea because the internet has gotten so noisy. Of course, it's still noisy in traditional media, and the Today Show and Good Morning America, CNN, and Fox, they're all very coveted. Mm-hmm. But those kind of appearances still can have the kind of they can still move the dial like they could in the old days if you know how to leverage yourself correctly when you're on the show. So where we don't have Oprah anymore, sadly,
mm-hmm.
right,
yes.
Which was the biggest dial mover of all, if you had the right fit. And it was the right, you know, you said the right things, you were the right fit, and it was the right time for that product or service or whatever. So those are all factors that come into making your appearance a success.
Yeah, but the numbers, I mean, there's no argument that the numbers have gone down, right? I mean, we just don't have the number of people watching one show in the way that they used to. Is that a misnomer, or is that still...
You know, that's an interesting, fascinating point, because people are watching it maybe not at the same time or maybe not live, but then you still have, if something's of interest and catches the interest of the audience, it can get re-aired on Hulu, pop up viral, get on BuzzFeed. So you have that kind of effect with the internet if something is popular on traditional TV or magazines or in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that has like a magnifying effect on it if it catches.
And so, and Mary, I know you've got a lot of experience with this as well, but one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, and let's just jump straight into it, is, you know, based on what you do and my understanding of what you do, there's a lot of people out there who will say, I'm not willing to pay for someone who does your type of work anymore unless I'm guaranteed results. Are you seeing a shift in the media publicity world, if you will, for people who are saying, I'm not going to hire someone unless I get a placement?
You know, here's what's going on. If people want guaranteed placements, then they now have the option of pay for placement. Wasabi mm-hmm. Publicity is excellent for that. They're just moving into the marketplace. They are a publicity firm, a boutique firm, that has a great track record in both social media and traditional media. So I think you really want a firm who does both.
Mm-hmm.
So they're offering now pay for placement for people who maybe aren't, you know, here's the thing about publicity. We can't guarantee any kind of results, and that's really frustrating for a lot of people. Does it have an effect in terms of, you know, getting you greater recognition so you get higher speaking fees, that maybe you get a book deal? Yes, with the right placement and if you're the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's part of your positioning and your packaging. It's not, the mistake is that people say publicity doesn't work. And I actually think that sometimes publicity doesn't work when you don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the issue. Like, you have to be properly packaged. You have to have your funnels ready. You have to know how to be both entertaining and lively and attracting to the kind of audience that you want. So there's a lot of particulars that go into a success. So when someone hires a publicity firm, you know, part of it is really frustrating because we don't know necessarily what's going to be timely and what's going to catch mm-hmm. media's attention. And I was a publicist first, so I can't tell you how many times it was the thing that I didn't think that, you know, that was going to catch that caught, and vice versa. Like, there's no predicting that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's such a huge relationship business anymore. So you, as the publicist or the PR person, having the relationships with the various media outlets, and then really knowing your client, knowing the person who comes to you and says, hey, I want to be on HGTV. Well, what do you do? Not much. What experience do you have? A little bit. Mm. You know, so it's, that's where someone like you is really powerful, because there's nothing worse than putting someone on TV who doesn't know what they're doing.
Well, and publicists actually can't even do that anymore, because it's their reputation that's at stake. So when I work with publicity firms and I media train their clients, and they may have their very first appearance on Fox, it's an audition. If they don't do well, Fox is not going to invite them back.
Yeah.
And they're going to be unhappy with the publicist.
Mm-hmm.
So for something like that, we actually script out the segment, and we rehearse it word for word.
Yeah, and just
and we time it out.
And just to be clear here, you're not a publicist. I mean, you are what I would consider to be, and even you describe yourself to be, as a media coach. So we don't have to get into, you know, the beat down on publicists, because we're not, you know.
No,
I'm not.
No.
And
I love them and I work with them. I'm the friend to the publicist, because when they have someone that they want to get a publicist, or they've already got a placement for, that's when they call me. I mean, I'm just working. A firm just called me the other day. They've already got a booking at the end of May.
Nice.
But their client isn't media trained yet, and they're having an OSH, you know what, moment.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about that when we come back after the break. And if you want Susan to help you with your media and getting you ready and maybe come up with hooks, that sort of thing, give us a holler, 866-977-2346. And that is number one. We'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio and Susan Harrow and Mary Goulet right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right. Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. If you're just joining us, we have got the one and only Susan Harrow on with us. And before the break, we were talking about, is it the death of media or not? And should we hire publicists and that sort of thing? And frankly, as far as this conversation goes, doesn't really matter anymore, because what we need to do at this juncture is, you know, really shift towards helping folks get this thing right. And this thing is, well, twofold. Number one, how do you know when you're ready for media? And number two, how do you create sound bites when you're on media so that this can live in perpetuity? Because I know, like, for instance, I've done a lot of media. Susan, you probably don't know this, but I've done a lot of media around why college is the single worst investment that a parent can make. And I, you know, man, there's a lot of sound bites through that. But one of my favorites that I came up with is that, you know, all we're doing is taking kids really out of the sheltered environment of getting the bottle from their mama to the sheltered environment of getting the bottle from the bartender. You know, I mean, that's really, you know, that's really what college
wants.
Like. Yeah, exactly. Oh, and the other thing is, you know, because I talk about it being a return on investment, you know, when the return on investment that the parent ends up with literally is the child returning home.
I
don't think that's the return that they were hoping for.
No, they don't want them living in the basement, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So let's jump into some sound bites. Let's jump into some discussions around media. But I do want to bring on Sherry, who is on line one. So let's bring in Sherry. And I know you had a question for Susan. So Sherry, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks. This is wonderful.
Awesome.
Hi, Sherry. I'm sorry we couldn't have lunch today.
Hi.
This is the reason why. Sherry and I would have to have lunch today.
Well, then there you go. So now you guys are having lunch on the air on Reinvention Radio.
Well, I love this, because it's perfect, because I've actually got sort of a question that I hope many people can relate to that I think, Susan, you might be able to answer, which is that it's so overwhelming right now. Like, it used to be, I mean, back in the olden days, when I was working for a company and doing publicity, there were so few media outlets. It was easy, you know, it was easy to pinpoint who to go to. And now it's like it's just completely overwhelming. And I'm just wondering if you can help us, like, where do you even direct people to begin?
Yeah, I direct people to begin locally in their own backyard or extremely targeted. So instead of blasting out a press release, which we call, you know, spray and pray, instead, it's all about the personalization. Joan Stewart wrote, the Publicity Hound wrote a really great article about how you can find out anything about a reporter or producer by Googling them. And finding out, you know, what she loves dogs, so, you know, what kind of dog they have, what kind of food they love. And then, obviously, to read what they've written. This is age-old advice, but I think more now than ever, it still pertains to really understand who that person is, what their beat is, to make a very specialized pitch to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? That's a good point that you bring up, because I understand Sherry's, oh, my gosh, it's overwhelming. There's so many outlets. There's, where do you start? But then Google has been a gift to us because we can research people on the sly, you know, just like, hey, I wonder what, and you might find out that they have something in common with you and it's easier to connect with them.
And you can talk about their article. Like when a reporter or producer calls up to interview me, I don't usually take that first call. I want to research them first before I call back, understand their beat and what they've written, what their real interests are. So I have a common ground in the very beginning, and then I can understand the kind of writer they are, what they're typically, or, you know, producer that they are, what they're typically interested in, because that's going to give me an edge then over even having a conversation. And I highly recommend that you get them talking before you ever open your mouth.
And let's be specific here, too. So Sherry, what is it that you do? Because I know that you've got just a wealth of talent and knowledge here. So, you know, what I want to try to do is try to gain an understanding of what you do so that we can move into kind of helping you position that for the media. Like, how do you get booked? So Sherry, what do you do?
Thanks. This is awesome. I love this. Yeah, so my mission, my company is Simply Celebrate, and it's really dedicated to helping people, what I say, say it now. So all of the sorts of things that people would usually wait until a funeral to say, to tell the stories, to appreciate people, to pay tribute. My work is really around helping people with services and products that get them to express that now.
Mm-hmm. And so and turn down your radio if you don't mind. We got the echo going.
Oh, and Sherry, tell your one-liner how you describe your business.
My one-liner.
Yeah, your one-liner.
She's like, what?
You know, celebrate every moment. I forgot what it was exactly.
Well, yeah, for me, what I usually say is, you know, life is fleeting and extraordinary. You know, we have to celebrate now and we have to say it now.
And so just out of curiosity, how are you monetizing that? I mean, are you doing coaching? Are you doing consulting? How are you monetizing that? Because I think that, you know, that's sort of abstract, right? And I think, you know, for me and for others who are listening, it's hard to figure out how to monetize abstract things. And then we're going to, obviously shift it back to how to get your media exposure. But just out of curiosity, how are you monetizing that?
Signature products, and that's actually the one I'm most interested in right now in getting some publicity around.
See, I'm helping you right now.
it's called a celebration book, so that I collect stories and photographs from a group of someone's closest friends and family and create a one-of-a-kind book.
Mm-hmm. So let's create a hook. So let's create a hook around that, Susan. So if you're pitching the media, and obviously, I mean, again, I know you're not a publicist. I know you're a media coach. I get that. But if Sherry's our client, right, and we're trying to help her, what is a hook like that? I mean, what do we make it sound like to be appealing to a producer or someone who books guests?
Yeah, and Sherry's one line, I'm just up on your website, Sherry, is turning ordinary days into an extraordinary life. That's what I was going for, because I love that line of yours.
Mm-hmm.
So for Sherry, for extraordinary books, I mean, one of her target markets would be weddings, because that's a one-time event that someone would want to have for a lifetime. So where someone would say, you know, a wedding's for a day, vows are for a lifetime. So such are the memories that you want to capture.
Mm-hmm.
So I might pitch the wedding, a very small, you know, niche, the bride's magazines and all of the newspapers and magazines have a time, you know, when they pitch, when they're focusing completely on wedding.
Yeah, and I think what's really important to take away from this is that it's not about what Sherry does. It's about how that work impacts an element of someone's life, right? Because ultimately, if she's just pitching what she does, no one listens.
No.
But by focusing on one specific way in which her work impacts a potential client, that would be a hook. So, you know, as we look at then that celebration of life's moments, the hook, I would think, in terms of wedding season or graduation season, that sort of thing is, you know, basically something to the extent, and Susan, obviously you can chime in here at any point here, but something to the extent of, you know, how to make that graduation day last a lifetime, right? Or something, because the way I think about it in so far as media is that always, you know, after the break, we're going to be blah, 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 right? So it's like that,
yeah.
You know, so it's after the break, we're going to be teaching you how to make that one, you know, graduation day last a lifetime, right?
You know, Sherry's also, I think her product is, and sometimes people don't think about this, but Sherry's product is perfect for a roundup, meaning you're pitching other people's products or ideas as well as your own. You're not just pitching your own. So for weddings, it's
great.
If it were for weddings or for graduation, it doesn't matter what. It's like, what are some unusual gifts that you can give that are not the typical thing? What can you give for Father's Day? You could do this for every single holiday.
So what is your
holiday?
I'm sorry, Susan. What is your website, Sherry?
It's simply celebrate.net.
Yeah,
Sherry. Susan's got it. Simplycelebrate.net. Nice. Okay. Awesome.
I love that idea of the roundup. And I'm also wondering if you think that would work. I have kind of a special place in my heart for sort of like end of life, like so maybe an 80th birthday, 90th birthday, people who are terminally ill. And I find it hard to sort of know, like, you know, where does that fit into the media?
Yeah. Well,
here's how it fits into the media. I would get some stats on the number of children who die of cancer. For one, it might not be the end of life for adults, too, but it may be the end of life for children. How many children die of cancer or of Lou Gehrig's or whatever all the diseases are, who would want to have a kind of celebration. Just like that, I forgot what the name of that program, but whatever that program is where they would bring in that person's hero into the hospital bed.
Isn't that Make-A-Wish?
Yeah, Make-A-Wish.
Make-A-Wish. This would be like Make-A-Wish for the person's short life kind of thing.
Well, and we're in the boomer time, so even people that are older, they're living longer, but, I mean, their kids would want to be able to talk to them and say, hey, we want to celebrate your life.
Yeah, and obviously it's all about positioning here. And what I want to do is really talk about some of the mistakes that you see a lot of people making too, Susan, because I know when you're approaching the media, there's a right way and there is a wrong way to do it. And so before we hit the break here, quick 30-second tip on something that people should do when they are approaching the media, and then we'll come back after the break with some other thoughts on what not to do.
So the one thing that they should do is approach the media with a negative, not a positive.
That's counterintuitive.
Very much so.
With the negative, like what's the problem that you then have the solution for?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the negative first, because a negative has 7 times more hits. And more, it's just human nature. Mm-hmm. It's not something with our society. It's just the way human nature is set up. We are geared to respond more to loss, and our brains are actually set up that way, neuroscience-wise, for our primitive brain to set up more to be worried about loss than we are about gain. Mm-hmm. So you present the loss. What are you going to lose financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically?
All right, great. And Sherry, thanks for being on. If you
want
to talk to Susan Harrow, the phone number is 866-977-2346. Hit number one on that. Again, 866-977-2346. Hit number one. And we will be right back after the break with more Reinvention Radio with Mary Goulet and myself, Steve Olscher. And we will be reinventing media when we come back. So, see you in a few.
Thank you. You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right, before the break, we were talking to Susan Harrow. And by the way, Susan, how do people find out more information about you and your incredible media coaching services?
They can go to SusanHarrow.com. We're in the middle of a website redesign, but it's still there. And they can also take some free courses there and a free webinar if they want to learn about sound bites. 5 surefire ways to get more customers, clients, and sales and become a media darling. That's all available there, too, and that's free training. So,
nice. And,
yeah.
And if you've ever wondered, like, what a solid hook looks like in terms of, you know, how do I attract the attention of the media, just go to Susan Harrow's bio, because she's got a top 10 list. And, this is like Letterman would blush at this list. but, you know, it's 10 embarrassing, extraordinarily high eccentric and remarkably true things you probably never knew about me. And these are like, talk about just chock full of hooks here. This is a perfect example of, if you were to send this, my mother was a gypsy, who knew how to read your fortune on your face. I think you would get the attention of a producer just with that one. Technically, I guess if mom was a gypsy, does that make you a gypsy as well?
I think I am kind of a gypsy, because I did inherit her gift for reading what's most important in people, what their gift is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes us unique. And, you know, I love Oscar Wilde, who said, be yourself, everyone else is already taken. Mm-hmm. Because I think one of the biggest issues that people come to me for media coaching, is that they think that they have to be bigger than themselves, or they have to be someone else in order mm-hmm. to get media attention. And particularly in this noisy world, like Sherry was talking about how noisy it is. But it's not about being bigger or better. It's about being more about your own self. And I just heard that interview with B.B. King and him talking about, you know, how he was encouraged to just be B.B. King, like just be you, be B.B.
Yeah.
King. And there is no other B.B. King. And he's like, well, who else could I be?
Yeah, but I mean, there is something to be said for, you know, the old news axiom that if it bleeds, it leads, right? So, I mean, at some point, there's sensationalism that takes over. And no matter what show you're talking about, no matter, you know, if it's on cable or if it's on, your standard channels, I mean, there is still the appeal of sensationalism that we just cannot seem to get beyond.
But do you want 15 seconds of fame, or do you want a lifetime of fame?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the difference. If you're the kind of person who's out there just for the quick fix, that's one thing. But if you are really looking to establish yourself as a business, to grow your reputation, and to be known for something, and to leave a legacy and not just leave an impression, then that's a whole different kind of ball game, and that's a different lifestyle.
You know what, Susan, how did the Kardashians get away with this long run?
Boobs and ass?
Yeah, it's just so frustrating
like
to see.
Sort of a perennial. I am baffled by that. I'm baffled and fascinated by it.
There's nothing to be baffled by. It's a hell of an ass and some really nice boobs. I mean, so.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Stupid.
But
people,
I can't watch it.
It sounds so stupid.
I'm not allowed to watch it, by the way. Just,
yeah,
yeah.
Well.
Matter of fact, whenever like I'm watching and the wife walks, I I got that remote like right there. Change the channel. She's like, how could you watch that horse shit? I'm like, well, I can't really answer that without.
No, but it kind
stating
of
stating the obvious.
I guess it's just that one that sets aside, you know, they're getting a not more, you know, not just 15 minutes of fame, Susan.
Right. So for us who are sort of in the more traditional, well, no, I don't consider myself to be normal by any stretch. if you listen to the show enough, you'll know that's not the truth.
I'm just fascinated by people who are like us and people who are different than us. And the Kardashians have such a flashy lifestyle. It's like, whoa, that's sort of like the other extreme of everything that we already are. So I think it's both. We want to know, like, what you said about people that you've had on your show before. It's like, how can we be like them? Mm-hmm. But I don't know that maybe some people want to be like the Kardashians, but it's more like, what?
So how about this? What can we learn from them? As we're looking at it from our business perspective, what are they doing right that we should look at?
You know what Kim Kardashian does fantastically well? Mm. Selfies. She is the master of the image, and we are in an age right now where image is king. So if you want to promote yourself quickly, and you have beautiful images, because pictures tell a story faster than anything, a picture or a video. So those are very, very quick ways for storytelling in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a picture that's going to be worth 1,000 words, I would put it out there, and I would definitely use that on your website and your social media, because that's part of getting the attention for today. So part of what happens is that if you approach the media or the media finds you, they're always going to do their due diligence. They're going to look at your social media, they're going to look at your website, and they're going to say, is this person viable for what I'm looking for? Are they a credible expert?
Got it. So, and if you want Susan to help you, I mean, if you've been thinking about getting on media and you're just struggling with what to say and how to say it and how to pitch people, I mean, this is a rare opportunity. So give us a holler at 866-977-2346 and hit number one. And Susan and myself and Mary will do our best to help you.
I just want to mention about that, Steve, because I do think that people do things back-asswards. They do rush out to try to get media attention, and then they're not ready when the media calls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where your sound bites come in. And where sound bites are like sex is they have to have that zing. They've got to have a zing, meaning you've got to be able to capture media attention when they actually call you.
So give us an example of, like, one of your favorite or a couple of your favorite sound bites, just so people can hear what that sounds like.
Yeah, so they're short sound bites, and then they're stories. So one of my favorites from a former client, Kelly Fox, who is vice president of iVillage and founded astrology.com, is astrology is a guide, not a god.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice, very memorable. So there's the memorable kind of sound bite, right? And then there's the kind of sound bite that grows your business, which is a success story about something that happened to one of your clients. So this is a nice way to brag without bragging, because you're telling a success story through your own self, right? So it can be as simple as, like, one of my clients who took the soundbite course got $200,000 for a speaking engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, what? You know, that's a very quick way to tell a success story. After taking the soundbite course, one of my clients went from, I actually forgot what he started from, but he made $200,000 from one speaking engagement. So you're like, okay, that's a super short story, super short success story. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I mean, I know Kiyosaki got a lot of coverage originally when he was talking before the burst about how your house is not an asset, right? And just, you know, simple things. And there's nothing complex about that statement. People have been saying it for years in various ways, but for him to say it in that way, it resonated really strongly, you know, with so many people. And of course, that led to an inordinate amount of success with the whole Rich Dad Poor Dad series. But that's, you know, that was one of the ways that he got started, that he got on the map, was with that hook. So if you're in what I might call a non sort of sexy business, right, where it's not, you know, it's what others might look at and go, well, that's just kind of stoic. And, you know, I mean, we don't have to name names here, but if you're in a business that others don't consider to be sexy, can you get media around something that just doesn't, you know, have that same sensationalism tied to it?
Absolutely. Statistics are very powerful. So, and actually one of my clients, Jeannie Hobart, she runs a survey company, My Survey Expert, right? And she went from geek speak to media speak. She really, I couldn't even understand her when she first came to me. I mean, it was like all academia, too. But we were talking about, like, one way to transform not only speaking like an academic, which you don't want to do, but getting the kind of statistics that would bolster something fascinating that she does. Because, you know, much as I love her, like being surveys, that's one of those dry kind of subjects, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be. And it and what Jeannie transformed that into was how you can read your customers and create products and services by getting customer feedback, which is very popular on the net right now. And every company wants that, right?
Yeah.
So that's how it's sexy. It's like, you know, what's the bottom line here for companies and why would they want this? It's like you don't have to create anything, and this goes for any kind of business, book, product, service, or cause, until you know what your audience wants.
Yeah.
Hey, Susan, so what do you think about the craziness of all these social media platforms, from Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, not Snapchat so much, but just
Pinterest and that sort of thing.
Pinterest?
Sure.
So what do you think about creating, because it's perception. So having create your own perception around your brand and then utilizing social media to get your hook out there, your sound bites to get picked up by
media.
Is
it like a chicken and egg kind of question?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it works. It works both ways. It's like you can get social media to get noticed, because then again, but then again, you have to have the gravitas behind it. So you can have the most, you know, beautiful Instagram account, but you have to have some sort of something behind it. So it works both ways to get the attention and also to contact the media via social media, which is now you can pretty much pitch via Twitter. And that's the ultimate in pitching, right? Like,
yeah,
words, right?
Yeah.
But then you want to have the gravitas and the sound bites to back that up. Like, do you actually have something to say?
Yeah.
You know, and you can say it with pictures. So I do think it goes back and forth. So you might get noticed on Instagram or Pinterest, and then someone pings back to your website. And also that you want to have your funnels, which I'm sure you talk about this a lot. You know, Steve, you want to have your funnel set up so when people do, when you do drive publicity or you drive the media back to your website, you have your funnel set up so you get someone on your mailing list from social media, because that's so random to be able to contact them unless you're a celebrity.
Yeah, there's being ready, and then there's actually being ready.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a huge difference between the two. So we'll take one more break here on Reinvention Radio, and I've got a question for you, Susan, and I think you are probably one of the only people that can answer. So stick around. We'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio.
Okay.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Olscher.
All right. I don't know why I smile every time I hear Wade do that.
I know, I do too.
It's I just love Wade's voice. All right, so before the break, we were talking about the one question that only Susan Harrow can answer. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Susan Harrow is H-A-R-R-O-W, so SusanHarrow.com, and a media coach, not a publicist, don't get us wrong here, so a media coach, and specifically for women entrepreneurs, which I think is pretty cool because I teach people how to nichetize. So I like the fact that you've actually niched it down quite a bit. But here's the one question. question that
I love men too, though.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. But here's the one question I think that only you can answer, and then Mary's got a question for you as well that I think only you can answer. So how do you say no to the CIA? I mean, really, like if they come knocking on your door and they're like, yeah, Susan Harrow, like you are being recruited for the CIA and here's your badge. Like, I mean, really, like what happened there?
You know what? I realized, I thought because I speak French, they were going to like ship me off to like some country way in the boonies, and I would have had to go through 2 years of physical training. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be climbing fences, barbed wire electrified fences, and I'm going to be hiding under people's beds, and is that the life that I want?
And you said no.
I don't think that's the life I want.
Right.
Plus, if you save, this was actually one of the questions they asked, like if you saved a country, you know, from being destroyed, but you couldn't tell anybody about it. And they're like, could you do that? And I'm like, yeah, I could not tell anybody about it.
Yeah,
like, imagine trying to hold that in your whole life.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I've saved the United States from, you know, being bombed and everyone in it.
Yeah, I think SEAL Team 6 pretty much took care of that caveat. So, yeah, you can't write that one in anymore. But, but like, for real, like, seriously, how does one get recruited by the CIA? Like, they literally came knock on your door and were like, Susan, we want you. I mean, like, is that what happened?
You know, there was a job. It was like in the paper. Really,
the CIA just advertises in the local classifieds.
I wrote an essay about how one mind is like all
the most tight-run ship in the world. Runs a classified.
They did
the newspaper.
Exactly.
That's funny.
We did a 2-hour interview in a soundproof room. Yeah.
Wow. I love your wild bio. That's where you're getting the CIA thing, because I've known you for a long time and you didn't have this bio up.
So, but
you know, I did. I had it up from the beginning. So many people copied me when the internet was new.
Right.
That was one of the very first things that I did, because I think that when you're talking about differentiating yourself, that in the old days all the bios were businessy. Now they're not. But in the old days, you wanted to say, well, what is this? What, you know, the saying that people actually hire you for who you are, mm-hmm. not for what you do. And so I thought, this is the bio that I'm going to write. This bio is who I am.
So let's get a little, I don't even like saying serious, but I know, Mary, you actually had a legit question that could actually help people. So this show might actually help someone.
Yeah, let me talk.
If you ask this question. All right. So, this might actually help people. So, yes, please.
Well, okay. So let's say everybody's an entrepreneur anymore. So this is their first foray. They know how to go on Twitter. They know how to go on Facebook, but they need to get serious about their product or their service, and they're not quite ready to hire someone of your magnitude. What would be like the first three things they should consider doing while they're also going and learning from your website?
So number one, they should read everything on my blog and go through. I have like 3 or 4 webinars. They can go through those webinars and get some special reports on my site, SusanHarrow.com. Number two, get with a buddy. In the Soundbite course, we match you up with a buddy, so you have somebody to practice with. Because like Steve was saying earlier, you actually have to do it. You have to do the thing. So no matter how imperfect it is, like when I first started media training people, and when I gave my first Soundbite course, which was live and actually live media training people, nobody would volunteer. I'm like, people, you pay for this course, and we would get in the group on the phone, and nobody would want to be in the spotlight because it's too scary. So when you start to practice with your Soundbite buddy or just a friend or your loved one or whatever, to say it out loud, because you want to practice in the medium that you're in. Steve, I know you do jujitsu, so it would be almost like you can't practice jujitsu in your mind. You have to do it on the mat. You have to physically get up against another person's body and throw them down or elbow them in their face or whatever. You actually have to do it. You can run it through your mind.
I prefer the latter, but yes.
Yeah, stay on the other side of the table, buddy. Yeah.
But it's actually doing it. So get together with a soundbite buddy and actually practice your soundbites out loud. Like, what would you actually say? And first, what I recommend that you do is don't try to even hone them down. Just blither. Like, what do you do? What's most important? How would you talk about your product? What do you offer? Just get it all out there first in a natural way, and then that's starting, you know, the job of the media trainer, me, as I listen to the way you speak naturally, and then I start to shape it. What's important here? Where do the pieces of the story go? What's the flow of the story that's going to be important to the media? So that's number two. And then number three would be to actually, I have four things. So let's say number three would be to get your offers and your funnel ready. So you absolutely have to have an opt-in offer to capture someone's email address on your website. That's a given. And then you want to have an offer and your funnel ready for what you want people to buy. But even more importantly than that is to set your deepest intention. Know how you want to serve. Number two is, what do you actually want for yourself? How do you want to grow your business? Do you want to get more speaking engagements? Do you want to sell more product? To actually quantify that. And then number three is, what do you want your audience to actually do? What action do you want them to take? Is it visiting your website? Is it calling you up? What do you want them to hire you for? What do you want them to buy? Because that needs to be integrated into your sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
So then the last thing is to actually put it into motion, which would be to start small. I would start on the internet because that's easiest, because there's lots of blogs. There's talk shows like this. Maybe not this one's very fast-paced, so start with a slower one, someone who has a podcast where you can actually talk for an hour so you don't have to be as concise, and then move up to local, your local TV or your local radio or your local newspaper, you know. So start slow and sort of ease into it and start to get used to the pacing of what happens in a media interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, print is slowest, then radio, and then TV's fastest. So don't go for TV first, because that's where you have to have your sound bites down, and it's the hardest and the scariest. So.
Well, and you know what also I recommend and I like to request from my guests is, like you said, write things down, but put it in a formal talking points thing. You know what I mean?
The whole thing is to structure. You really do want to structure your sound bites and know exactly what you want to say, that you're going to weave them into an interview no matter what someone asks.
Yeah, and also the hosts sometimes have not read your book. They don't really know what you're talking about. The talking points are for the hosts so that they can go, okay, I'm going to ask you this question, and you at least know what's coming.
Oh, yeah, because you've written them and you've written the answers. So
I have to admit that I hate those. I mean, I have them on my site, but at the same token, it's just
they're really helpful.
They are. I mean, they lead. And like, frankly, I've done hundreds of interviews and the people just like they read them one, two, three.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, really? But let me just ask you this, Susan, before we wrap, because we've just got another minute here or so before we've got to bid goodbye. But my question to you is, how do you feel about doing anything and everything that's thrown at you? I mean, like, I'm a whore. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, like, you know, I'll do a show just because somebody asks. Well, and frankly, it always sharpens the saw, right? I mean, even if you do, like, the blog talk radio.
It's great practice, and you never know who's going to hear it or who's going to be listening. I mean, I heard a story about there was a famous musician, and he had a concert, and one person showed up, and that person was Sting, and the one person who showed up was the person who signed Sting to a record deal.
Yeah, so there you go. So do everything and anything, because you never know who's listening. And right now, for those who are listening to the show, if you have access to Lenny Kravitz, you know, I know we had a Sting story here, but if you got access to Lenny, just introduce us, because I don't know who's listening right now. So if you're Lenny Kravitz's agent, just, you know, hook a brother up, will
you? You know what, Steve? You just did something really fabulous.
See, and we've only got 10 seconds, but please tell me.
What you did really fabulous is you put out your dream.
Exactly.
What you really want. And in a media interview, you want to put out your dream. So my dream is to get Aikido in all the schools with media training for girls. So thank you for that.
Awesome. Wow. SusanHarrow.com. Yep, great talking to you. So Mary, great show once again.
It
really appreciate you being here. And we will be back soon.
You just got
for
dismantled.
More fun.
Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsha, visit reinventionradio.com.